All participant lines have been muted. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the second quarter 2013 conference call in CompuGroup. This is Christian Teich, CFO, reporting. Today we decided to pre-announce our Q2 results, as we were basically finished with all relevant analytics and we were not in line with market expectations. The right and correct thing to do is to bring the information forward. And today I will quickly go through the presentation, and then we will go into a Q&A session thereafter. So moving now to the slide number 2, the key figures in the second quarter 2013. After a weak first quarter, revenue and profitability is also behind expectations in the second quarter. And obviously the change figures are not nice. We will go quickly through the housekeeping items, turning to slide 3. The quarterly revenue and profitability view, missed revenue targets with high operational leverage. Basically, we have a fixed cost base in the short run, leads to the 17% EBITDA margin for the second quarter 2013, which is obviously a significant dip to the level we have been in the past periods. Stepping through, slide 4, cost of goods, gross margin, really nothing special in this picture. Revenue mix as such is unchanged. Moving to slide 5, personnel expenses. We have more people and we have more costs. We've had, I would say, strong and significant growth initiatives many places this year. We've put people behind it. Hasn't produced the output as expected, in many ways different to 2012, when much of the same methodology was applied. But the net result, as you see in this graph, is we stepped it up for the year, Q1, Q2, and again, more people means more costs. Slide 6, other expenses, is a function of the people we employ. So more people means also more activity and more other expenses. We also had some one-offs, extensive use of external resources in Sweden to solve some delivery issues there, some review processes in the HQ, which just leads to also other expenses going up in a material way compared to the year-on-year comp. Moving then, slide 7, cash flow, operational. It's a normal seasonal profile. We're happy that we broke down receivables, about 8 million in the quarter. That's positive. It was too high at the last reporting point. Now it's more back in line where it should be. Other than that, you know, certainly the weaker profits compared to last year shows in the figures of the first half compared to Q1, Q2, 2012. But again, other than that, it's a normal seasonal profile. CapEx, Some special internal IT investments, otherwise really nothing special in the quarter. Then, stepping into slide nine, the balance sheet. Since the last balance sheet, which was the end of Q1, we paid a dividend. Otherwise, really no changes to this. Currency has changed a little bit, so that in a sense brings down the whole size of the balance sheet, as a lot of that is held in non-euro currency. But again, really no big difference. Then we move into the different business areas. Slide 10, we start with the AIS development. This quarter, it's a mixed picture. Overall, this is a super robust, super profitable, and growing part of our business. That statement still holds very much true for the large part of our business, Central Europe, that's Germany, Austria, France, Italy. 12% organic growth, certainly good. Of that, 5% is related to pricing in Germany, but still stripping that out, 7% year-on-year is good. North Europe, from what is always a strong organic growing part, is now flat. That's basically because of the percentage of completion adjustments in Sweden. And then, US sequentially unchanged, which is down from last year quite significantly. And that brings overall growth, down to 4%. Group level, it's not bad, but for this part of the business, that is more of a mixed picture for this particular quarter. Slide 11, some special commentary on the U.S. Really no change sequentially from Q1. So no, say, short-term effects from the management changes and transition we did after Q1. We see our peers experiencing much of the same. Again, there's plenty of opportunity out there for us to excel. We're basically looking at our own performance in terms of impulses from the market. Certainly, we're now moving into the stage 2 and 3 of meaningful use. And this thing about ICD-10, which is related to billing and reimbursement predominantly, we think these factors will still drive the market. The first part, meaningful use, definitely on the EHR side, on the medical system side. The new thing is probably that we see more emphasis and more opportunity coming from, the good old practice management and billing services related to ICD-10. So that's an area where we kind of re-emphasize and rejuvenate parts of that, say, product and activity portfolio to make sure that we harvest some of the opportunity that's coming in the U.S. How much this will impact for the rest of 2013 is still uncertain. You can rest assured that we will do everything we can to turn this quickly around, but just judging by A, what we saw in Q2, and B, what most of our peers also experienced, we now basically forecast this business flat for the remainder of 2013. We'll get back to that. Which means a lot of the, say, work and thinking in the U.S. now is to make sure that we get back on a growth track for 2014. Slide 12, pharmacy business. Q2 doesn't look quite, doesn't look right in terms of that particular quarter. We have some details to describe that in the report. It is actually better than it looks. Underlying performance is good. We have our issues, but actually this is not part of it. There will be a different seasonal profile this year, and basically everything points to us landing on track this year. So it's different seasonality, otherwise on track. Hospital business, some signs. Again, it's a mixed picture. We can start with the highlight. Our friends in Poland, certainly that's That's grown to be about 15% of our hospital business and just continues to grow. So all good news from there. Smaller markets in the east, certainly we see a slowdown in hospital IT spending, more driven from the, say, regulators and funders. Austria, Switzerland, yeah, the weakness from Q1 in a sense, the lag has continued, and I think by now we see that, yeah, it's going to be a decent year, but not quite what we forecasted in terms of just top-up ad revenue and deliveries. And then Germany, it's not a big deal, but we will have we have had lower hardware sales this year, and that's probably going to remain. This product launch in social care, which was a significant part of our growth plans this year, certainly was a more complex undertaking than what was forecasted and planned. This has now been more of a staged approach, which means that the effect from this comes more gradually, a little bit towards, you know, in the second half this year. But altogether, somewhat of a mixed development also on the hospital business side. Communication and data. This is a change from how we saw this business in May. At the time, we had a weak Q1. If we look into the history, there have been significant quarterly opportunities and fluctuations. The status now is that we didn't really change anything. Those opportunities went by us for Q2. We already know for Q3 that it's going to be on par with Q1, Q2, the odd €5 million of revenue, and Q4, which is basically almost, say, booked in terms of lead times for contracts, will probably end up much in the same range. So this has become much more of a, say, or much less of a dynamic business. Fewer and fewer, say, purchase decisions are being managed locally, particularly in Germany, by the product managers, more being pushed into regional, European-level product managers. And all in all, you know, we are down to something like a €20 million revenue forecast for this year, which certainly is lower than how we saw the business at the beginning of the year. Moving now into slide 15. Again, projects and deliveries falling behind. Our drive to, say, push our drug prescribing tool, IPC3, to doctors through the third-party software vendors has really slowed down. Certainly, we have seen less push from the regulator on say these smaller ISVs to adopt the same kind of conformativity to the regulation as we have taken and other bigger players, and without that kind of pressure, it's been tougher than expected to bring it out to the doctors. Yeah, this is not uncommon. You know, we always have some legacy products churning out. This is a year where that's happening on some old administrative applications. Good news, yes, we have signed some new contracts. The NRV project, which is described in the report, exciting stuff, starts to generate revenue in the second half. We have some new CardTrust customers, again, coming online in the second half. There will be some sequential improvement, but really not at the level as we expected at the beginning of the year. Which now brings us to the outlook part. We are now on slide 16. So as we announced in the May Q1 report, certainly Q1 was behind plans. But despite that start, we did see a solid pipeline and you know, good order backlog also for good coverage of what seemed to be a good sequential step up for the remaining three quarters. You know, since then, really no short-term effects from the changes we did in the US. We've had some extraordinary costs and adjustments in Sweden. just a weaker than expected sales development in the communication data business, and delays in product launches and projects both in the hospital business and workflow and decision support. And as much as we believe in the second half, and everything points to us having a good second half, and maybe we should just step through each and every point. When it comes to the AIS business, the doctor and dental software business, basically we see that in terms of organic growth similar to the first half. We're not going to have, say, the Swedish issues. However, we already have some of the pricing on the maintenance side in Germany already included. It's included in Q4 last year. So those two kind of cancel out. And this is just continued good trading on the doctor and dental software business. Again, keeping in mind that this has been double-digit organic growth also, for the first half. And then the seasonality on the pharmacy software business will be different. So, we will probably have some more impressive growth figures in the second half, but they will more or less cancel out, and all in all, we will end up as we expected in this part of the business, which is good. All in all, for the hospital business, we don't see big changes compared to the first half. Some smaller improvements, mostly coming then from Germany, but I think the weakness that we saw in Czech Republic and Slovakia will definitely continue. There is just a lower propensity for hardware investments that there's no reason to believe that's not going to continue. And again, the backlog and visibility for the business in Austria and Switzerland, together representing almost 50% of our hospital business, is also such that, it's not going to swing much more up than what is stated here on slide 16. Moving then to slide 17, other points. Some sequential improvements on workflow and decision support driven from the new orders. In the U.S., this is something that could change, but right now we cannot assume any material sequential change and basically forecast second half equal to the first half. And then what we know for almost certain is the communication data business, where we will end up very close in the second half to what we did in the first half. That is the revenue side. If you add all of that together, you will end up with something like 3% organic growth. In our guidance range, we've created some buffers to that, about 5 million, which we believe is prudent and enough. And there are still some, say, assumptions that need to materialize, but that should be a robust forecast on the revenue side. And then, of course, as we are far away from our revenue targets, we have taken prudent cost measures. We need to scale back where, say, initiatives do not work, while we still manage the business, of course, for growth, that is value creation. So balancing these two things, we will have certainly good margins in the second half, and from our analysis and from our cost management, something that would even surpass what we had last year, in the ending up in 23 to 24% range. So that's certainly a super important part for management here, to show that we are able to adjust, and we need to adjust for the year, as we have a strong commitment to our stepwise improvement in margins, and that means also in the short run. Everything we've talked about so far is organic. As you have observed, we have made a sizable transaction in Italy, stepping in as the market leader in pharmacy information systems. That's the Studio Pharma business. And then a smaller, say, more embryonic position on dental software. All that's going to be consolidated for 5 months, resulting in about 7 million euros of revenue. EBITDA, probably not much, shouldn't be factored in after you subtract some transaction expenses and initial integration costs. Putting all of that together then, including TechnoStudio Pharma, we end up with the following new ranges. Revenue between $458 and $463, and operating income between $97 and $100. And so far, that expects everything we know about the business. Should there be any other transactions, that would come in addition to this. And I think I will end this session with just underlying kind of the last paragraph in our outlook, which is more or less taken from the annual report, that it hasn't been a good first half. Even with a strong correctively traded second half, we're not going to reach our guidance or initial guidance for this year. Having said all of that, we are the European market leader. We have a significant business, in our opinion, large enough in the US to succeed. And being in healthcare and IT is a great business. Nothing has changed on that. Our software maintenance recurring revenue is up. Nothing has changed there. And it is, after all, a resilient business model that has all opportunities to grow and create, say, the value that all of you expect from CGM and us as management there. So I guess with those words, we step into the financial calendar. I will just briefly mention that. As always, we have our 3Q slightly late because of the analyst conference at the Medica. Very important, of course, to have a status checkup there, and I encourage everyone to visit us there to get a broader picture about what CGM is all about. And then we move, as stated on slide 20, into the Q&A session. If you would like to raise questions, you press star 1 on your telephone and we will queue you up and take the questions sequentially. First question. Anyone on the line?
Oh, yes. Hello. I'm sorry. That was me. Rory Hammerson from Kempen Capital Management. Apologies for the delay. You said in terms of your profitability, you're going to scale back on the various areas that aren't working. Can you give me some detail on that, please?
Some of those areas are definitely in our headquarter. So in terms of various, say, initiatives and staffs for growth management, we've seen we will do some adjustments to, say, our multi-channel approach in the German doctor software market. Obviously, Sweden is a hot topic in terms of tightening that part of the business. And I guess the fourth point is in a sense putting a lid on further plans until, say, those already running show a better return on those activities and investments.
Thank you. Anything on the business in the States, do you think that you need to reallocate resources there?
I would say that's, again, we've had a very, very monolithic focus on clinical systems and EHR, which has been natural because of the stimulus program. In our opinion, that's being complemented now with, the kind of old bread and butter, which were practice management systems and billing services. And certainly, that is an opportunity. And the U.S. market is a market which is more on and off. And when opportunities come, I mean, we have the products, we have the people, but again, that needs to be put into some kind of focus, plan, and execution again. So that is some kind of an internal shift that definitely needs to be done and is in the process of being done.
Okay, thank you.
Hello.
Next question.
It's I guess my turn, Andreas Wolf from Warburg Research. Hello?
Hello, Andreas.
Yes. Regarding communication and data, you outlined your expectation for this year. So where's this negative impact mostly come from? Where does it mostly come from? Is it the original drug advertising? Is it generic drug advertising? And you mentioned about marketing budgets being shifted from Germany to the European area. So is it just some companies or one company, or is it a general trend which is relevant for a number of companies? And then second, it looks like maybe you explained it and I missed it, workflow and decision support was also weak on a sequential, on a sequential basis, especially compared to Q1. So maybe you could explain this as well. And last question is regarding your revenue expectation for this year. So if I take your old guidance and the lower end of it and add, let's say, 7 to 8 million from the Italian pharma business, then there is some 20 million missing. So maybe you could explain how we should think of where in the three areas that you mentioned the revenues are missing. Thank you.
Yeah. So on the communication and data side, you are, is it originators or generics? It is both. And is it some or many, say, companies? I would say it is many. I think we've seen this as quite some shift in the market. I think one company which is more exposed to this and also came out with some Cegedim certainly has shed some color on how, you know, the whole thing about marketing and pharma companies is shifting and changing. And then I think now there are some bigger shifts happening when there is a move to, say, to work on market access, getting drugs approved and getting reimbursement in place. That's where kind of the game is shifting to for the pharma companies, less so than informing about the products to doctors who have maybe less and less of an influence on prescribing decisions. So I would say it's pretty broad-based. And again, yeah, hopefully that answers your questions. Yeah, the weak sequential workflow and decision support is basically the churning out of this maintenance for the administrative software. In terms of the revenue expectation, the 20 million gap, actually, when we compare the, say, our mid-May forecast to where we are today, it's actually 23. And you know, I'm going to try to highlight the main areas, keeping in mind that we are in 19 countries. So obviously Sweden is one. It's a significant amount, which again is taken in Q2. We have, say, the German hospital business. That is a significant amount. That is, you know, including the hardware, which is half of it, that's 5 million. We have the Intermedix communication data business. That is also, it's not quite 5, but it's 4. So I think those are, you know, again, it is the bullets that we have highlighted, and then you add US on top of that, you know, which at the time, you know, we had into our plans a sequential improvement, and now we just have it flat. So in the US, Sweden, Germany hospital business, including the hardware and Intermedics, they are the main parts of this.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Christian. It's Henrik from HSBC. Three questions, if I may. First, follow up on the communication and data business. You mentioned that there's a considerable shift going on. So for H2, you're assuming a flat business, but thinking further into the future, will this business still exist in 3, 4, or 5 years? Second question, or maybe you could answer that first, would be easier.
Well, So the short answer is yes. I guess at what level, you know, this year, this type of advertising communication to physicians generates 20 million euros, say, odd per year. You know, where is that type of activity in 3 to 4 years' time? I would suspect lower. How much lower, nobody knows. And certainly there will always be some kind of branding, profiling, similar style of advertising going on, and some need to distribute product information. So it's not going away. It's reached half the volume it had only some years ago. But definitely, if anything, it's hard to see that these types of concepts and products would grow again. So I think for us, it's more to see what type of, say, new concepts we can bring out. We know we have served and done business with the pharma companies for a decade, very successfully. Maybe more interesting now is how can we help them with market access rather than marketing. And again, you can see tremendous opportunity there. It's going to take time, and I think that's going to be the picture of this area in the coming years. You will see older products reduced in importance, and new products coming in, hopefully crossing the line and driving growth overall. But again, these are general statements pointing into the future. And I think the most specific answer I can give is that if you just narrow it down to exactly what we do today, directionally, that is going down.
Okay, good. And then my second question would be on your hospital business. Well, there are couple of areas where you've seen delays and shifts in projects. So I was wondering whether this is solely based on the customer side, whether the customers have chosen to delay those projects, or whether there has been any issues at CompuGroup with the projects running out of control in any case.
So I would say it's the first and not the latter. If we start in order of importance, Austria and Switzerland, being almost half of it, is a very orderly part of our organization, and they really have an exceptional track record in deliveries. And we've even brought some of those colleagues into the Swedish situation to get some cross-learning there. In Germany, obviously, we have underestimated an important product launch. Yeah, we will have to take that on our own account. Having said that, as long as we acknowledge our mistakes, they can be corrected and they are not permanent. But certainly, a more extensive, use of our systems for planning and service provision, Planung und Dienstleistung, certainly was brought out into the market before really ready, and this creates delay easily in 6 to 9 months, which is what we've seen. So overall, the German hospital business is about 35-odd% of our hospital business. Of that, the social care is half. So, it doesn't completely change the picture, but enough when we talk about the difference between, say, 2% and 4-6% organic growth. And then the hardware side, I think, will go a little bit up and down year on year, and that's not something we control. And maybe in the future, that's something we're just going to get out of our books, as it's not very strategic or interesting or even profit-generating.
Okay, thanks. And then my third question would be on the U.S. business. Well, I mean, the top line is barely growing in the business now that you've turned around your operations, but it still doesn't change the revenue development. Does it still make sense to operate that business for the long term?
Yes.
Okay. And just to follow up, could you maybe give us a brief idea of at the current business levels where you could drive margins to which figure in the States, and where the EBITDA margins are now in that region?
Well, that's easy. There is not a single reason why the U.S. business should be below 30%.
Okay, thanks.
Next question.
Hello?
Hello?
I have a question regarding the profitability. That we have seen that now we are talking of a margin around 21% for the whole year, but you mentioned in the presentation that for the second part of the year will be around 23-24. Could you give us an idea if that 23-24% margin could be sustainable for next year, or is there any reason that we may expect that maybe you are going to have the same situation, that next year you are not going to be able, for different reasons, to get a margin around 23-24%, because at the end of the day, the movement that we are seeing today in the stock is just the market is assuming that you are a 20-21% profitability business, and we would like to understand if you still consider that the 30% margin is achievable in the long term.
There is no change to our long-term outlook in CGM and how we manage for that outlook, which has an explicit stated goal of reaching 30% margin. And certainly, you have all the reason to expect that margins shall increase year on year. This was how we guided, this was how we managed and planned for this year. We didn't reach it this year, and as long as we remain a business, we can never rule out that we will have certain setbacks. But what you can rest assured is that we will take corrective measures, we will manage the business with this clear target in mind, and when we move even into next year, this is what you should also expect. On how we say do our duties as managers to make sure that we keep on track for the longer term.
Yeah, hi Christian, it's Uwe from Deutsche.
Hey Uwe.
Hey, just two or three questions, please, in addition to some, maybe just a clarification on some of those. So firstly, on looking the big picture, so your new EBITDA guidance, there's obviously a downgrade, roughly midpoint of 20 million. Again, maybe could you do the same exercise as you did on the revenue side in terms of the breakdown, again, just roughly and rough numbers. Plus, again, the most important part I would say is how many restructuring costs, if any, did you plan for in this new guidance? Secondly, indeed, still on back on the hospital side, I mean, is there any change on the competitive environment? I have to ask the question again simply because it's not the first time that you have some issues on the hospital side. It depends sometimes on the country really. And I also understand that your love to the hospital business seems to have cooled down somewhat. At least that's what I seem to hear from your comments. and whether we should draw any conclusions for your commitment to this business in the longer term. And then lastly, actually I will not put it as a question but just as a remark. I mean, it was like 2 or 3 years ago when we had the first issues in the US, and even at that time you were pretty committed that you will be reaching your profitability goals. And so I would challenge your assumption of why this business shouldn't be a 30% business going forward, simply because you are too small, and simply because most of the market has already moved towards EHR. I'm totally aware that the smaller doctors have not to the same extent, but at this point in time, you still have not proved that you are capable of participating to the same extent. So at least I will, I encourage you to take this as to increase the efforts and prove me wrong. But my assumption would be that the best would be probably you sell the business at probably a much higher price than you initially invested in the total business, and thus would create a fair amount of shareholder value in this way. So, but appreciate an answer on the first two questions. Thanks.
Okay. So, big picture, as I said, actually, technically, we are at 23 million on the revenue side, and actually, the same amount is 17 on EBITDA compared to how we saw the business. And, it follows very, very closely to the revenue side. You could say that even with fast reactions in the short run, you get at least 50%, say, of the revenue miss straight into your EBITDA, and that would even be very, very prudent management. And then on top of that, you have the pure, say, expensing that we had to do in Sweden to come to grips with the situation there, which of course comes on top. So it shifts a little bit there, but we are, and of course there is really no cost impact from the US. That's just a pure kind of leaving resources in place and suffering from the lacking revenue. So, I mean, we're down to, again, roughly half of it coming then from Germany, the Intermedics business, communication and data, lacking hospital business, and some of these workflow and decision support concepts not moving out. That's basically half of the EBITDA thing. Then Sweden is a significant part of the rest. And then, you take the revenue part in the U.S. and take that straight to the EBITDA line, and we have our number. Second question, restructuring costs. There will be none. I guess that's the thing about new initiatives. They're not that expensive to dismantle when we do them. And then the hospital business, I would say, nothing beats the doctor software business. Maybe that's a personal statement, and to colleagues listening in, don't lose your eye on the ball on the rest of our business. But certainly, the hospital business is more, more customer concentration. You have more professional services. You cannot run it, as off the shelf in terms of shrink wrapped software and so on and so forth. Having said that, Sweden is a good example where you see in the very long run, there will be convergence, maybe not in Germany, but we see it, in the US to some extent, that the knowledge and capability of also delivering and running bigger systems than what fits into a doctor's office could be, valuable for the future. So I would say, but of course, you need scale in hospital business, and we don't have the right scale. Maybe that's why we're a little bit worn out, especially on a day like this. And the question is, how do you get that scale? How do you make the European Cerner? And I think we're open to how that could be done or not done. And in the meantime, it's not a bad business, and it belongs in CGM. And probably in the long future, it will be a business that, will have a little bit more of on and offs than than the rest of the doctor software and pharmacy software business. For your challenge about the US, challenge taken, clear message, and we will do anything we can to prove you wrong.
Thanks. Very clear.
That seems to be the last question. I would say on behalf of the management board, our apologies for interrupting what for many of you are is a holiday period. Again, it is our duty to share information when it is available. And I think as much as we are not happy about how we have performed in the first half, we're happy about how we managed to process today. Hopefully that's worth something. Keep in mind when you digest the numbers that everything points to us having a good second half, and we will do everything in our power to bring that spirit into 2014 so that the longer term trajectory of CGM remains intact. So I think on those words, I wish everyone a great weekend, and we will certainly stay in touch in the coming period. Bye.
The conference is over. We are looking forward to welcome you again soon.